The message last week was live in love, live in God. True love is only found in God because God is love. Whether we talked about love in the family, in the church, in the community, or society, true love has transforming power. It sanctifies and unifies people from different walks of life unto God and unto one another. This love was clearly demonstrated in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who unite us with God. And Satan knows the transforming power of God's love. And so he and his demons work very hard against the people of God and the church. And we read in Acts chapter 4 and 5 that Satan successfully penetrated Ananias and Sapphira and to cause them to commit deadly sins. However, God is gracious to us that he engraved that event in Scripture so that we learn to attune to the Holy Spirit and to turn away from Satan and his demons. This past week, the whole world celebrate love, especially marriage love. Valentine has come and gone, but love remains. Love is not to be celebrated during 1 week of the year or 1 day of the year. Rather, it is to celebrate every day. So today, we will return to the message of love again, just as the songs that we sang about God's love and our love for one another. The message today is perfect love drives out fear. No, it is not love drives out fear, but perfect love drives out fear. What is perfect love? Perfect love is the completeness of love, the fullness of love. Then you ask the question, who has it? Only God has it. That's the answer. And so you want perfect love in your life. I want it in my life. The way to get it is through God alone. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 16b. In your Bible, you never see 16a or 16b, but when the paragraph is break down like this, once verses break down like this, we call the first part A, the second part B. So we will start there and we'll finish verse 21. This is a short passage. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. Father, we are searching for love in this world through our lives. Our parents taught us about love. And we are seeking love every day, and we find it wanting because we don't see it in humanity. There's love, and we experience it, but it is fleeting. It's not here forever in our hearts, and we desire love. And your word tells us that you are love, and for us to have that sustained love in our lives, we need you. So come today and teach us and come into our lives and take residence in our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My observation of this text is as follows. Verse 16 to 18 deals with the transforming power of God's love that the believer can actually experience in their own life. In verse 17, it is a passive voice. That means God makes love complete in us. And this is done by his indwelling. It's not by you having the power, but the power dwelling in you and work his love out of you. Verse 19 to 21 deals with the overflowing of love. Once God takes his dwelling, his residence in you, then love overflows from you to the people in your home, the people in your workplace, people in the community. So I'm going to take this message following that pattern. The first part is that God made love complete in us. And the second part is that his love then overflows from us. As a married man, I heard my wife often said that she needs my love, or that I don't love her enough, or that my love for her is not complete. That devastated me, as it should devastate any one of you. To search for love. What is this love that she desires? Of course, she does not want material things like a rose, a house, or a car. She really wants my heart. You know, and sometimes I think to myself, but I still need my heart. I cannot give you my heart. You know, maybe when I die, you can have my heart. But if I die, she won't need my heart anymore. She wants my heart when I'm alive. So I want to thank my wife for her persistent asking for love. Her quest for love forced me to search for love, which I did not know growing up. There's a longing in the human heart, not only in my wife's heart, in my heart too, in your heart. And this longing seemed to be there, like we almost taste it. We almost know what it is, but we can't put our hands on it. We cannot have it. But we can sense this there. The reality of love is just like there. Some singers said it is in the air. No, it's not in the air. It is in the person of God. This perfect love is found only in God through Jesus Christ. We seem to lose this perfect and innocent love when Adam and Eve sinned and fell. Ever since, man has had only the incomplete love. We taste it in perfect love when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. But we also taste it when we marry. Okay, so boys and girls, listen carefully. You only taste this when you get married. Indeed, the best part of marriage is when two people are in sync, in deep communion with one another. The Bible said, two become one. No one can care for you or soothe your pain and weariness of life like your spouse. When you are exhausted and tired, when your spouse and your spouse touch would light up the day, his or her presence, his or her caress and smile are worth all the trouble. His or her true love is worth opening all the sins of your life to her and your vulnerability. That genuine love disarms all your apprehensions before him or her. No wonder the Bible said Adam and Eve were naked and they had no shame. That's the beauty, the most beautiful love that you can express. You can experience is through that marriage. That's what our spouses are asking us when they said, I want your heart. I want you to love me from your heart. It's that moment of intimacy that is so real, and you can only know it when you're there. But when you live in your spouse's love, you taste that joy of living in God's love. It's like you almost taste God in that, but in the person that God has given you as your spouse. It's the most beautiful thing you ever experienced on this side of heaven. His or her love made you complete as a person. Happiness does not even explain the state of bliss. It is deeper, and you completely submit to him or her in love. This is no resistance. There is no resistance. Rather, there is confidence that your spouse lives to give you joy and to give meaning to your life. How do you get there? We already experienced it at the moment of intimacy between husband and wife. The real question is, how do we sustain it? And verse 16 to 18 here in this chapter tell us that only God make it complete. You cannot sustain it. You cannot have it. Only God lives in you. Then God sustain that love between you and your spouse and between you and other people. So how God does that? How God sustain that? It is a mystery. But there are some patterns that we can taste. We can see how God does it. For this love to be made complete in you and in me, both spouses have to learn how to trust one another. That is the beginning. Trust does not come right away. It grows with time and with the intentional lifting up of one another. It comes with the combinations of thoughtful action through time, seeking the best interests of the other. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. You get there when you know that he or she does not judge you anymore, but accept you as you are. You are there when you fall into sins. The other would cry to God for you. You arrive there when material things don't mean anything anymore. You're at peace with life even though you are poor. I can receive this perfect love from my wife if God lives in her and works out his love through her to me. And my wife can receive this perfect love from me only if God lives in me and works out his love through me to her. When God takes residence in us, then his love overflows. It's not you loving, but it's God in you loving, and his love overflows. As joyful as love in marriage is, God's love is more. It is abundant like the ocean. God's love is poured lavishly to everyone who needs it. And it can sustain the entire universe. It will never run out. Once we receive this perfect love and it blossoms in us, then not only the people in our home are affected by it, people who come into contact with us would be affected by it as well. I still remember last year I felt Jesus' gentle hand on my shoulder, nudging me to get a confession out of my chest to my wife. Once I got it out of my chest, I felt so much peace in my life, peace with my wife, peace with God. I no longer was bound by fear. I was free. Through that, I entered deeper communion with my wife and with God, as if I passed through a pearl gate. Well, I'm entering a scene, a life that I've never experienced before. And I want you to experience that, to go through that. But something else came after that, not just between me and my wife and my family. For the last 2 months, I began to cry for the unchurched like I have never did before. You heard me tell you about my heart a couple of years ago when I was in Michigan pastoring there. I went to a funeral where non-believer died. And I went over there to the viewing, look at him in the casket and looking into his family mourning. And deep down in my heart, I know that man didn't go to heaven. But I didn't experience any passion, compassion for that man. And I asked God, what's wrong with my heart? That I don't even, that he's going to a terrible place did not provoke me, did not even disturb my heart to love that person. But that is changing now. I sense the Lord is transforming my heart. The other day I was listening to apologist Michael Remsden speaking on evangelism on YouTube, and suddenly I began to have tears in my eyes. My heart became tender and soft. I began to pray to God that He would open opportunity for me to speak to non-believers about Jesus Christ, to testify to His perfect love. And to my surprise, one of our members at Jewel called me and told me that there's a group of people wanting me to speak to them. They want to know if I will charge a fee and what would it be. And I said, it's free. I told him to go ahead and give my number. And so Monday, they called me and said they have a Valentine banquet today organized by some woman. They're all non-believers, but they want to hear the message of love from the Christian perspective. What God does is so wonderful. It's something beyond you and beyond me. But God orchestrates these things. So today, my wife and I are going to go after church to speak to them. Even at 61, it's not too old to start something new, you know. Abraham started going with God when he was 75, and Moses going with God when he was 80. So you have no excuse coming with me. All right, so I also pray that God will give you a tender and soft heart. The Lord placed in my heart to tell you to go out and talk to the church about the new building that we are to purchase, to tell them that this is our love project. We love them and want a bigger sanctuary for them so that they can come and worship with us. And that is what life is all about, for them to taste this love that God has given to us, that His dwelling in our lives made the difference in how we live this life. God has loved us as a church. In the last 10 years, He has demonstrated His goodness to us. From different walks of life, we came together and be a close-knit family. God's love overflows. And we already taste it within us. Now let that love overflow from this church into the people in the community. Perfect love is not a thing. It is not a house. It's not a car. It's not a large sum of money. Perfect love is a person. It is you. It is me. It is Jesus Christ to us. It is us to the world. And that is how we are to demonstrate this love. We preach perfect love without fear. Pastor Daniel had done that in a month in the communist Laos, and he had no fear of the communists take him, put him in jail. And he was able to convert people. So we should do that. We should preach without fear. And we have no fear because we also have this hope that the message that we give to them will make a difference in their lives. The message of love that God has given to us that made our life different will also transform them and will make them different in their own environment as well. So how do we go and tell them about this love? I think we could say something like this. The one thing I really need in life is love. We all need that. And God is love. Jesus is the embodiment of God and of His love. Jesus came to offer God's love to us through His redemptive death on the cross. Anyone who accepts Jesus is promised a new beginning. I have accepted, and consequently, I have been transformed. I'm a new person from within. That would be the message of love that we tell other people. Let me conclude by telling you a story of a homeless man and a rich boy. In Europe, Years ago, there was a rich family that lived near by the sea. And so they only have one son, and the son will keep going to play by the seashore. And there's a homeless man there on the seashore. And they befriend. And this boy keep going over there every day, bring good things to this homeless man just to love him. And the homeless man had nothing to give back, so he said, I learned how to draw, to paint. So why don't I draw a picture of you so you can keep it as a memory of me? So he did that. The boy took the picture and brought home. Time went by, and the boy didn't come anymore. So the homeless man asked, what happened to this friend of mine? And he was told that he died, the boy died. Soon after that, the boy's parents also died. So they have to sell their estate because there's nothing, that they have no other children that the estate will pass through. So the administrator of the estate put everything on sale. The first item was the boy's picture that this homeless man had painted. That's the first thing that went on sale. And no one would buy that one. The homeless man went there to buy that picture back because that will be the only memory and only picture of his friend. So he bought that picture that he drew of the rich boy. And then the administrator said, okay, the estate is sold. And he pronounced that there's a stipulation in the parents' will that whoever purchased their son's picture and this one that is by a homeless man would receive the whole estate. And so this homeless man inherited the whole estate of this boy and his parents. God is greater than that. He loves you. He loves me. God created the heaven and the earth, the universe and everything through Jesus and for Jesus. And God said, here's my son. Whoever received my son will receive all these things, will inherit everything that I create for my son, through my son as well. So the invitation for love is this, that God is inviting you to receive this love. Not only that he will give you love that you sorely miss here on earth, but he wants to give you eternal life, eternal bliss, that you be with him forever. That's the gospel. That's the message of love that we need. So let's go and preach the gospel of love. Let's stand.